Any government that inflates the money supply runs the risk of hyperinflation, which occurs when the money supply is increased so much as to render the currency completely worthless. It can occur very quickly and suddenly, and has a very rapid snowballing effect. The textbook case in the 20th century took place in Germany in 1923, although a worse hyperinflation occurred in Hungary after World War II. When in that year the French occupied the Ruhr Valley, an industrial and resource-rich part of Western Germany, the German government encouraged workers there to go on a general strike and refuse to work. It paid their salaries during that strike by simply printing the necessary money. But the process spun out of the government's control. People could see their money was losing value. They knew that the longer they held it, the less it would buy. So they rushed out to buy anything they could, since just about anything was worth more than the valueless pieces of paper that German marks were rapidly becoming. And the more they spent, the higher prices rose, leading still more people to unload their currency on whatever was for sale in anticipation of still higher prices in the future. The result was the complete ruin of the German mark, which German children began gluing together to make kites and German adults burned in order to keep warm. Who can be surprised to learn that it was also in 1923 that Adolf Hitler made his first attempt to seize power? Intolerance and extremism always find a readier audience in unfavorable or, as in this case, chaotic economic times. In the United States, November 2007 alone saw wholesale prices increase by 3.2%, an annualized rate of nearly 40%. With all manner of bailouts contemplated for mortgage lenders and a Federal Reserve committed to ever more money creation, are we so sure that hyperinflation could not occur here? In fact, that outcome becomes more likely every day. Inflation of the money supply also produces financial bubbles and instability. The monetary inflation of the 1990s helped yield $145 billion in profits for the NASDAQ companies between 1996 and 2000. That entire amount was then lost in a single year, not to mention the trillions of dollars of paper losses and stock values from their peak in early 2000. Politicians are all tears and pity about large stock market losses, but they never make a connection between the bubble economy and the monetary inflation generated by the Federal Reserve. Congress has chosen instead to blame the analysts for misleading investors, a drop in the bucket compared to the misleading information for which the Federal Reserve has been responsible. What with the artificially low interest rates it has brought about, and a financial market made flush with a generous new credit at every sign of a correction over the past 10 years. By preventing the liquidation of bad debt and the elimination of malinvestment and overcapacity, the Federal Reserve's actions help keep financial bubbles inflated and make the eventual collapse all the more severe. It is this, the Fed's policy of artificially cheap credit, that caused the housing bubble that has caused so many Americans so much grief. Banks, awash in reserves created out of thin air by the Fed, began making mortgage loans to just about anyone. With credit freely available, people bought larger and more expensive homes than would otherwise have made sense. They were set up for disaster when reality would inevitably reassert itself amid the fantasy world the Fed had created. Using money zero maturity figures, we find that the increase in mortgage debt since the 2001 recession is equal to the Fed's increase in the money supply. That is where the new money went, and it is where the housing bubble came from. And it wasn't just that people were enticed by all the available credit into living beyond their means. The housing bubble caused them to make other destructive and unwise decisions as well. With real estate prices artificially inflated, people felt wealthier. In light of how wealthy the value of their homes made them feel, they saved less. And the economist Mark Thornton puts it, Americans began using their homes as giant ATMs to withdraw cash from the equity they had built up. The 1990s witnessed a dramatic upward trend in new housing starts. Revealingly, no downturn in housing starts was observed during the 2001 recession, the only recession on record in which no such downturn has taken place. Few Americans will be surprised at the statistics. Between 1998 and 2005, home prices increased by 45%. As Thornton points out, that figure is all the more remarkable when we remember all the forces that were simultaneously putting downward pressure on home prices, including new home building technology, an increased supply of lower-priced labor, mainly from Mexico, and the fact that new housing tends to be built on lower-priced land. That prices could nevertheless rise so sharply is a sign of the severity of the bubble.